to preach the Word of God
to you, I often wonder what word I'm going to say. I got a message prepared, but my mind seems void and blank. You say, that's what I thought. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to meet us. Genesis chapter number 12, we'll begin reading verse number 1. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day. I thank you, dear Lord, for your word. I pray you'd open it unto us. Help us to see things we ought to see. Lord, I pray, help us to be the type of hearer that we ought to be. Help us to have the heart that we can receive things from Thee. Lord, I pray at this moment, if there's anything in our heart that's not right with Thee, that would hinder us from receiving Your blessing, I pray for my own heart, Lord, if there be anything, I ask You, Lord, that it be under Your blood, that it would be cleansed and forgiven. I pray that, Lord, as the song says, there be nothing between me and Thee. And I pray You'd help me to be a faithful messenger. Help me to say the things I ought to say. I pray You'd help this church. Pray it help my life from here and for eternity to remember these things from Your clear teaching of Your Word. And Lord, I thank You by Your Spirit what You're going to do. And I ask You these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country. Now I'm going to start right off the bat. Abraham is what most of you know him as. God renamed him. I think Abram means high father, but he's father of many nations. God changed his name to Abraham. And so if I call him Abraham or I read it as Abraham, please forgive me because that's what most people know him as. God renamed him. Praise the Lord. So you said, I don't like my name. I don't like my life. Ask the Lord to rename you. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai are on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And so when you look at this statement in verse number 7, it says, There he builded an altar unto the Lord. Let me turn this rig off. Let's see here. I don't want the spirit to come through the organ. We've got to get that worked on. But in that verse number 7, he says, There he builded an altar unto the Lord. An altar unto the Lord. Verse number 8 says the same thing. There he builded an altar unto the Lord. If you were to go to rural areas of this world, maybe some small villages, places maybe in Africa, or Alaska, or village towns, and you were to ask these people, do you know who the President of the United States would be? Many of them, believe it or not, would not know. Not everybody knows who Trump is. We in America, most people know. I say most people, not all. Most people know who their president is. But if you were to go in these rural towns and villages, maybe whether in Russia, maybe in Africa, maybe in wherever it may be, in different towns or different locations, and you were to ask people, do you know who President Trump is? They would not know, or many of them would not know. You may ask them about someone that maybe is famous, that you and I would recognize as someone world famous. And they may be world famous to a limited audience. But if you were to go to some of these same villages and places within the nation, in the country, and you would ask him, do you know so-and-so, that they're world famous? many of them, if not most of them, would not know. But if you were to go just about any place on planet Earth and were to ask, do you know who Abraham is? Most people would know. They would know Father Abraham. They had heard stories about Abraham. Do you know the three large religions put their roots all the way back to Father Abraham? Our Christian faith, our roots go back to Abraham. The Jewish nation would put their roots to Abraham. The Islam nation will put their father as Father Abraham. And so Abraham, even in rural villages, if there's any Christian light there, they know the name or have heard the name of Abraham. The Lord gave Abraham, in these verses I read and in many other verses, great promises. He gave him many things that could be said about him. Look at verse number 2 of chapter number 12. And I will make thee a great nation. He didn't just say a little nation. He said, I'd make of thee a great nation. And all the Islam nations come from the seed of Abraham, Ishmael. All the Jewish nations come from the seed of Abraham, Isaac. Of course, we know that they were two different mothers, Hagar and Sarai. One was the promised seed, one was not. But all those nations stem from Abraham. He said, I'll make of thee a great nation. He said, and I will bless thee. He was probably one of the wealthiest men of his day and during his time. He said, I will bless thee. He said, I'll make thy name great. I just mentioned how great it still is. Thou shalt be a blessing. He was a blessing. He said, I will bless them that bless thee. You know why I told you before why the nation of America should be on the side of Israel? Because of this promise right here. He said, I will bless them that bless thee. Speaking of Abraham and his descendants, he said, I will bless them that bless thee and will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, listen to what he says, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know I have been blessed this morning because of Abraham? Put your thinking hats on. Most of you know the answer to that. How can all of the world be blessed by Father Abraham? Because he had a son named Isaac. And out of Isaac's seed came our Savior. All the world has been blessed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That all came from Abraham. And so God, there are many things that are said. Most probably 12 chapters at least here in the book of Genesis is dedicated to Abraham and to his life. Over three times in Scriptures, it is said that Abraham was the friend of God. John chapter 15 tells us how to be the friend of God. But it says that Abraham was the friend of God. We call Abraham, we sing that song, Father Abraham. He is Father. Father of many nations. Father of Christianity. And so he's Father Abraham. He's also, we call him, like I said, the friend of God. We may call him the father of the faith. Abraham, the faithful. He's the one of the faithful. And so when you look at these things, we see all of the blessings, we read at least some of them that God gave. Well, while I was reading these accounts in these three chapters, the four chapters that I read, in preparation to study, I noticed something in his life that I believe is the answer to the blessings in his life. And you're going to take them, maybe, I hope you take them as your own and you receive them. Because they are the life-changing differences in his life, and they can be the same in yours and in mine. But I had already mentioned in preface to it, he built an altar. It's where he built his altars. The altars that he built in his life. I was reading and studying most Bible commentators, Bible students that's written good literature, a lot more knowledgeable than I have, said that Abraham is identified by two things. He is identified by the tent, by his altar. He dwelt in tents. The Lord told him to leave. And so when I look at the tent speaks of his faith in God. But his altar speaks of his faith toward God. Do you get that? This morning, we're supposed to be giving an altar of worship unto the Lord. Not just coming, not just being obedient, but having an altar of worship to the Lord. And that's what Abraham was. He was one that worshiped the Lord. And so I just want to deal with you some things to talk to you this morning about some altars that Abraham had in his life that every one of us need in order to have God's blessing. The first one I put is the altar of sacrifice and then blessing. The altar of sacrifice and then blessing. So the first, there's the sacrifice of Abraham's heart to the Lord. Abraham had to give his will, had to give his heart to the Lord. I had done that. My dad led me to Christ. I was a young man, raised up in a Christian home. But there came a time in my life when I took some literature, a tract to my father, and I asked my daddy if he'd read it to me. And my daddy just took that tract and began to share the gospel to me as a young man. He shared with me that I was a sinner and that my sin deserved judgment. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My dad explained that to me, and he really explained to me that Jesus Christ took my death, took my wage, took my penalty on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ paid that sin debt. Not only did he die for me, die in my place, and die for my sins, but he was buried, and on the third day he rose victoriously from the grave. You say, what does that mean? It means he has victory over death. He has victory over sin. He has eternal life in which to offer, that all would believe in Christ. My dad explained the gospel to me. You say, did he explain it just like that? I don't know. I know I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I got saved. I knelt there on that couch so many years ago, just as a young man, and trusted Christ as my Savior. Can I tell you this morning that Abraham heard the same gospel message and probably in a better way than I did? That Abraham, just like I did as a young man, gave his heart to the Lord. Abraham wasn't seeking God. Neither was I. The Lord first was seeking me. The preparation of the heart is from the Lord. God's the one who does the preparation. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none of us that will seek after God of our own. God does the seeking. Abraham wasn't seeking. He was from an idolatrous nation. His father was an idol worshiper. They worshiped there in Ur of the Chaldees, the Fertile Crescent. They would worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. Remember when God gave and reaffirmed the promise there a few chapters later? He says, Abraham, he said, I want you to look at the stars and I want you to count the stars. He said, your seed will be like the stars. You know why he said that? Because he knew Abraham and his family used to worship the stars. We spoke about the Nimrod. There on top of that ziggurat, they would have the horoscope there, all the different stars, and they would worship the stars. He was from an idolatrous nation. He left that nation and went to the Canaanite nation, the land of promise that God was going to give to his seed and to him, and they were just as heathen, not worse than the nation he came. But when you look at those, that's where Abraham was. He wasn't seeking the Lord. God sought Abraham. The Bible says that the gospel was preached to Abraham. When it says that verse, in verse number 3, he said, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You think God left him in the dark? Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. I'm going to show you. You say, Brother Sewell, you don't know what you're talking about. I've already preached this one time. We went through the book of Galatians. But I'm going to refresh your memory. I need reminding. Galatians chapter number 3. And so when you look at this, there it says in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 8, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen Through faith. Now, what do we call Abraham? Father Abraham. Father of the what? Faithful. It's before the law. No people, no person has ever been born of the law, been saved by the law. Adam and Eve tried to have one law in the Garden of Eden. One law. They broke it. You can't keep God's law of your own. No man has ever been saved by keeping the law. Jesus Christ had to come to fulfill the law. Man broke the law. Christ, the God-man, fulfilled the law. And so we put our faith in Him. In verse number 8, in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Just because we don't have all the record there of God sharing the gospel to Abraham, the Bible clearly teaches here that He shared the gospel to Abraham. And the Bible says in the 15th chapter, verse number 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It was imputed unto his life for righteousness. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter number 4. Wasn't planning on going there, but I think it's necessary that we see these things. Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 1, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof the glory, but not before God. In other words, if we say that we're saved by works, you know what we're saying? We're glorifying our own self. There's coming a day when we're going to say, Lord, thank you for the cross. Lord, I just thank you for all. But in our heart, we'd be saying, we'd be telling the Lord, Lord, yes, the cross was necessary, but I also had to live a good life in order to get to heaven. That's what we're saying. We're glorifying in our good works. He said that's what Abraham would say. Verse number 3, for what saith the Scriptures? What does God's Word have to say about it? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You say, Brother Cooley, he had to do something. I'll tell you what he had to do. Believe. That's what he had to do. He had to believe. The gospel was given. Christ was presented. His death, His burial, resurrection. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. That is the gospel. He was preached that gospel, he believed, and it was counted on him for righteousness. Not for what he did. Same fellow, thief on the cross. He didn't do any good works. He didn't get baptized. He didn't go to church. He didn't do any kind of sacrament. He didn't give tithe. He just said, Lord, remember me when thou enter thy kingdom. The Bible said, today will you be with me in paradise. What did he do? He recognized him as Lord, Savior, and put his faith in him. God said, today. We're saved the same way, Abraham the same way, and there's not one saint that ever gets to heaven any other way except through giving their heart to the Lord. And that is an altar. That's giving our will. When you put an altar, is there a sacrifice on that altar? When you build an altar, there is always sacrifice. You have to yield your heart. Yield your life. And that's what he did. He gave his heart. Look, if you would, verse number 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. For what? Debt. He said he doesn't recognize this as the grace of God. He recognizes the grace. Now look at verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You say, what are you trying to say, brother? So I'm trying to say if you come to the Savior believing in something other than Jesus Christ or added to, you're not saved. That's what that verse means. But if you come realizing that Jesus Christ is all and your faith is all in Christ, your grace, your faith is counted for righteousness. You can't add anything to Jesus. You can't do anything to try to get there. It's all Jesus. And when Abraham heard that gospel, he believed the Lord. It was counted on him for righteousness. So there's an altar, not altar of sacrifice. Then came the blessing. You always get saved. There's always a blessing. And so let me say, not only he gave his heart on that, but he also gave his will to the Lord. He gave his will unto the Lord. And so I want you to look back, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 12. And I want you to look with me. I'm trying to find my place here on my outline. Genesis chapter number 12, I want you to look at verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Am I too loud? Sometimes I am too loud. My wife says, I'm too loud. I don't want to hurt your ears, but I want you to hear at the same time. In Genesis chapter number 12, he says, Abraham, he said, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Look, you would, verse number 4. So Abraham, what did it say? Departed. You say, Brother Sue, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that Abraham, when he sacrificed not only his heart to the Lord, he sacrificed his way to the Lord. There was an altar, and everything, his life, his heart, his way, his will, was given to God. You see it just as clear, and it's very simple. He said, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your country. When I left and went to, God called me to the ministry, I left Mobile. Everything I knew was Mobile. My mother, my father, my family was there in Mobile. But God called me to prepare, and so I left there. It was hurtful. My family was there. My friends were there. Everything I knew. He said, leave that place. Leave your nation, your family, your father's house, and go to a place I'll show you. He didn't even know where he's going. But he said, I'll show you. What does that tell you? He left all of his way, all of his will, on that altar to God. There was no reserve. He said, Lord, here I am. Not my will, but thine be done. You want God to bless you? Well, it starts with salvation. But I want to tell you something. That's not where it should stop. We should give every part of our life to the Lord. Not only our will. Let me just say this. There cannot be any blessings without an altar of sacrifice. You'll never have blessings in the Christian life without sacrifice. You give your heart to the Lord, there can be no Canaan unless there's an Egypt that's being left. There can be no victory in Canaan unless there's some battles to be fought. There can be no Calvary, no salvation without a cross. You cannot be blessed by God's blessing without sacrifice. In every part of life, there is sacrifice in order to have the blessing. And so we need to sacrifice whatever it is. Many of us hang on to things. Say, Lord, this is mine. I'll give you my life on Sunday, maybe Sunday evening, but I'm not giving any more. You won't have God's blessing until you lay all on the altar. Give Him your heart, but give Him your will and give Him your way. You'll have God's blessing like you've never known it before. So you need to pour out the blessing. Let me tell you another altar that was built. There's the altar of obedience and blessing. Obedience and blessing. You say, Brother Sewell, that's what you've been talking about. Look at verse number 4 again. I've already read it. It says, so Abraham departed. That's obedience. Let me give you a verse. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 22, God had told Saul, He said, what I want you to do is destroy all those Amalekites, everything that's living, breathing, destroy it. But Saul came back with the choicest of the animals. And Samuel questioned him. He said, is that what God asked you to do? He said, but yeah, I brought back these beautiful lambs, these beautiful rams, these beautiful animals for sacrifice to the Lord. He was willing to do the sacrifice, but he didn't obey. He didn't obey. Let me give you a verse that he gave to him. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. How many times have we come to an altar? Maybe a church altar. Maybe where you were there in that chair, that pew. You had an altar to the Lord. You said, Lord, I sacrifice this to you. Lord, I promise this to you. And you laid whatever it was on the altar. But yet you didn't follow through in obedience. In obedience. Abraham was not that type of man. Abraham sacrificed his heart, his will, his way. But he also obeyed. There was an altar of obedience. And so he was flesh and blood, just like you and I. And so obedience has always been the Lord's plan. Not just sacrifice, but obedience. The Lord told his nation of Israel, He said, I have the land of Canaan. And the first battle they were to go through when they went through that Jordan, their first city was Jericho. That didn't have to be the first city, but that's the first city that God led them to. And Jericho was an impenetrable city. I mean, it had walls that were so high, there was no way that the nation of Israel, these servants, slaves, could go in there and have victory over the Jericho and that fortified city. How were they supposed to win the battle? Obedience. God said, I tell you what you do. This is my plan. You take and you begin to march around that city one time. And he said, but you keep, don't say one word. Keep your tongue closed. That's hard. It's hard for this preacher. Definitely hard for those nation visitors. Can you imagine all those men marching around that city? He said, on the seventh day, I want you to march around it seven times and I want you to blow the trumpet. Now that was God's plan. They had to follow in what? Obedience. So they followed the Lord in obedience. What happened to those walls? Those impenetrable walls fell down. They still had the battle. But God gave them the blessings. But God gave some further instructions too. He said, all of the spoil is not to be taken. But Achan saw some goods, some gold, and he took it. What happened? He disobeyed. And so the nation of Israel went to a littler city, the next one, to Ai, and went to defeat it and said, we got this. Jericho was a cakewalk. And I believe it was 30-some-odd people were slaughtered because of the disobedience of Achan within them. Achan lost all of his family and his blessings because of his disobedience. It is always God's plan of obedience. And each step of obedience brings God's blessings. Each step. Abraham didn't start out just immediately. He did leave, but it wasn't immediate. Look, you would back at verse number 1. And the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of that country. God had already told Abraham to come out. You see, Terah was his father. You read the 11th chapter there. Terah was his father, and I believe God spoke to him before then. And so when God spoke to him, Terah said, you know what, I'll go with you, Abraham. And so they went down to the land of Haran and stayed in the land of Haran until Terah, his father, died. Now, God had already told him to leave his family, leave his father, and leave his country. Now, he started leaving his country, but he still had not left his father. You see what I'm saying? And so he stayed there. He did partial obedience. Well, he had partial blessing. The Lord spoke to him when he built this altar. We read it in the 7th and 8th verse. Then later on, he comes, he falters. Like I said, he has clay feet. He falters. There becomes a famine in the land. Anytime you start walking with the Lord, there's still God's blessings, there are still battles to be fought. And in his life, there was a famine that came in the land of Canaan. God said, this is going to be yours. It's going to be a land of milk and honey flowing to the nation of Israel. But here he gets in there, Abram gets in there, and there's a famine. Instead of putting his eyes to the Lord like he had been, he puts his eyes on the circumstance and he goes to Egypt. If you read the verses, it says that he went down to Egypt. Anytime you go to Egypt, you're going down. The Bible says, I think it's in the 13th chapter, the first verse, when he came out of Egypt. He went up when he went out of Egypt. It's not on accident. Each step. And so here it was, he's supposed to separate from Lot. His father dies, Lot goes with him. Not full obedience. Still has blessing. But when he comes out of Egypt, there comes a difficulty, a strife. And in that strife, it causes him to separate from his nephew, Lot. And when he separates from Lot, God comes to him again and speaks to him and reaffirms his blessings to him. Let me see if I can find it here in Scripture. If you would, in verse number 3 of chapter 13. Now this is just where he comes back. Out of Egypt, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel. You know what Bethel is? That's where the altar was first built. Bethel is the house of God. That's what it means, or the house of bread. And he says, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, where his faith was, between Bethel and Ai. Ai was a heap of ruins. Bethel was the house of God, the house of bread. He had built his altar heading towards Bethel, leaving the house of ruin. But when he went back to Egypt, he went to the house of the world to ruin. He had to come back to where he had lost, where he had left. And when he comes back to that place, I want you to look. Like I said, he separates there. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Talk about where Lot made his choice. He said, I'm going to go pitch my tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He wasn't in Sodom and Gomorrah yet, but he pitched his tent toward that way. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And he says, you arise and walk. What am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you that each step of obedience that he took, God came back to him and revealed himself to him in a greater, blessed way. But it was an altar of sacrifice. But that sacrifice also needs to be an altar of obedience. You know, on that old altar they would there in the temple or in the tabernacle, they had those flesh hooks. That old bloody sacrifice, you know what it wanted to do? It wanted to slip off the altar. And so those old flesh hooks had to be put into it. And that's what a lot of times our sacrifices, our own life, we say, Lord, I surrender this to thee, I sacrifice to thee. But you know what happened? We're so quick to slip off the altar. And God says what we need is an altar, not only of sacrifice, but an altar of obedience. And when Abraham obeyed, he was blessed. When he sacrificed his heart, his way, his will, he was blessed. When he obeyed, he was blessed. And then, can I say, bring you to the last one. Is these also, there is not only altar of that blessing and sacrifice, but there's an altar of repentance and blessing. Repentance and blessing. Back over in the 13th chapter, I've already read it, but I'll read it to you again. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar. Those two statements. Under the place to where his tent. Everybody told you his tent spoke of his faith to God. His altar spoke of his faith toward God. He had to come back to where he had left the Lord. It was an altar of repentance before the Lord. He had to come back to the place. God was the same place. Just like the prodigal son. His father never went looking for him. You read the parables, look for the lost coin. They searched for that lost lamb. But the father never looked for the prodigal son. He stayed at home. The prodigal son had to come to themselves and say, I will arise and go to my father. And that's exactly where God gives us here. There has to be an altar of repentance that brings blessing. All of us falter. All of us fall. But many times, like I said, we have to come back to that place. Can I tell you just in quickly how far he fell when he went to Egypt? How far he fell when he left his tent, when he left the house of God, when he left the altar. When he went down to Egypt, he picked up a whole lot of things. He almost lost his wife in Egypt.
He lied to Pharaoh in Egypt. When he not only lost his wife, he brought a plague on Pharaoh and his family. He was cast out of Egypt. He lost his testimony in Egypt. When I was reading and studying, one of them said, you know what? They said, I can imagine Pharaoh saying, if that's what a Christian looks like, I don't want anything to do with it. Because he lost his testimony. And here's Abraham, father of the faithful. But he lost his testimony before a ruler. Could you imagine how far that went in Egypt and beyond Egypt because of his fall? Because he was going in his own ways, going to Egypt. You say, I thought he was a faithful man. He was, but he had flesh and blood just like you and I. And he lied about his wife, not trusting the Lord. He almost lost his wife, lost his testimony. And guess what he added in Egypt? He added Hagar. Picked up a little maid. Her name was Hagar. And out of that hatched the sin where Sarai said, you need to marry Hagar and we'll have our your seed will be multiplied. And so sure enough, Abraham added that. Where did he get that from? Egypt. Lot, when he picked the land, at least, of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what he said? He looked and lifted up his eyes. And he said, it's like the land of Egypt. You know what he did? He lost his family. Part of his family in Egypt. All because he left his tent and he left his altar. There has to be an altar of repentance toward God. And so you say, where is his blessing? The same where ours are. There's one we sacrifice, one we obey, and if we have not, God's altar of repentance is always available to God's children. Always. You can always come back and say, Lord, I've done wrong. Doesn't mean that you won't suffer the penalties and the consequences. But the Lord fully forgives. And God is merciful. I want God's blessings. But I'll never have God's blessings. And I'll never be blessed like God wants me to be blessed. Unless I'm willing to make that's what an altar is. Unless I'm willing to obey, and if I'm willing to come in repentance to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.